Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. This portion of scripture we're going to look at, verses 6 through 15, put us in a place where Israel is in
a place of temporary peace. They're in the promised land. They have not overtaken every area. They're at a place where they've finally had some victories and they finally got to the place. We're going to be looking at a man named Caleb. Caleb in this portion of scripture will be about 85 years of age. Caleb, if you remember, is one of the 12 spies that went, and he was one of the two that gave the good report. He was the one that went in and those things. And God used Caleb in many ways. But at 85 years of age, I want us to see still his heart. This is the new year. We, many times in our life, start off very strong. We get saved, we get on fire, we get excited, we serve, we do, we live, we're sold out. But as anything, as we get older, either older in our salvation or older in age in general, we start to sometimes lessen what we do. We sometimes change in regards to our zeal, our excitement in what we're doing in life. We sometimes get tired and we get weary. As scripture says, weary and well-doing. And those things start to take place in our lives. Lewis, some reason I'm getting huge echo. I don't know if it's monitor speakers or above, but or old age, one or the other. And we get to a place sometimes where we even start to waver in our commitment to God and living for Him. As you and I look this year, God has given us another year, another day to live for Him and serve Him. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old, God is not done with you yet. Amen. If you're still here. Amen. God still has a plan. He still has a purpose. He still has a reason. He still wants us committed. He still wants us serving. He still wants us living for the time that He has given us. Caleb here is a man at 85 years of age, has seen a lot, has gone through the battles, has stood up against individuals that weren't going to go the way that they were supposed to, did all those things, yet he still wanted God's blessing upon his life, and he still wanted to be used of God. Joshua chapter 14. Go ahead and stand with me. And as we start in verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Years ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjathjearim, which is Arab, was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at this portion of Scripture, you would just enlighten us, and Lord, illuminate your Scriptures to us. Lord, help us to see this truth that you want us to see this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Look at the end of verse 14. That he who wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I want to ask a question. Are you, am I, wholly following the Lord God of Israel? Caleb, 85. But he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. As I said in the beginning, we start strong, but do we end strong? Some of you are older, some of you are younger, some of you have been saved longer, some of you have been saved shorter. But let me ask you, wherever you're at in your stage of life, spiritually and physically speaking, are you, am I, wholly following the Lord? I want us to look at what it takes to wholly follow the Lord from Caleb's life here. Verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I want you to first see, Caleb was in the wilderness, but Caleb wasn't wandering. Caleb was in the wilderness, but Caleb wasn't wandering. You know, understand this thought. We understand because they didn't obey God. They didn't listen. But Caleb was the one that said, hey, we need to do this. But God promised and said, okay, you're going to live long enough to be able to go through the wilderness and to be able to do what I want you to do in your life. Now, many were wandering in the wilderness because they had no purpose. They had no aim. They were just wandering and waiting. And many died in the wilderness. And all that took place and all that happened before they were able to go to the promised land. But Caleb was promised that he was going to be able to go into the promised land. And he was going to be able to claim what God said was his. The wilderness could be a picture of the world. Do you know there's many Christians wandering in the world today? Now, we're all in the world, I understand that. But there's a difference between those us living right now and with a different purpose and different perspective and different plan in mind. Now, they were wandering in the wilderness, and many individuals died in the wilderness, and that took place and that happened, and many never even reached the promised land. Do you know there are many believers today wandering around? Oh, they're saved. They put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They know him as their Lord and as their Savior. There's no question in their mind. They have salvation. And salvation is not based upon our works. It's based upon a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put their faith and their trust in him. But they're wandering. Oh, they started off not wandering. They started off, man, they got saved and they were gung-ho and they were serving God and they were living God. They thank God every day that they had another day to live for him, another day to serve him, another day to be sold out, another day to be committed, another day they could read the word of God, another day they could go to church, another day, man, they were, had such a zeal and such a passion. They weren't wandering. But here's where many believers today in America and in this world are. They're now wandering. They don't know where they're headed. Oh, they know they're saved, but they don't know where they're going. They've had all these interruptions in the wilderness. They've complained about the manna. They complained about this. They've had these wars that took place, and they're just wandering around, not knowing what they're doing. And that's what's happened. Once you and I were committed, once we had a purpose, once we had a plan, once we were sold out, now we're just trying to get through the wilderness. We're just trying to get through it. We're trying to just deal with what is thrown our way. We're trying to handle the things that are taking place. Wait, the promised land is still there. Yes, God's purpose is still there. God's plan's still there. But we're wandering because we care more about ourselves than we do about God now. Caleb didn't wander. He was in the wilderness, but he wasn't wandering in the wilderness. We're wandering in the wilderness today. We've become so consumed with everything this world is trying to give us and say is great and say is wonderful and everything that we think is important in life, we're wandering around. But Caleb didn't wander. But I want you to see something else. Caleb didn't wander in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness, but he didn't wander. The Bible tells us we're in the world, but we're not to love the world. We're not to love the things of the world. We're not to be consumed with the things of this world. And if we do, we're wandering in the world. Look at verse 10. While the children of Israel wandered the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I want you to see, he didn't wander in the wilderness, but he also didn't let his age keep him from being committed to God. How do you be wholehearted? You stop making excuses. How do you be wholehearted in your life no matter where you're at? You don't wander, but you don't make excuses. You see, he could have sat back and said, well, I'm getting older. It's time some of these young whippersnappers start doing something. You know what? There's some young people in this church that need to just step up to the plate. Well, that's true. But you guess what? God still wants the old people to start living for God and still live for God and serve God just as much. And we start making excuses and say, well, I don't have the health. And you might not have the health, but there's still things God wants you to do. You can still be committed. You can still be surrendered. You can still be living. We make excuses and say this reason, that reason. Caleb didn't make excuse. He says, I may be this age. I may be 85. I may be at this point, but God's not done with me. How do we become wholehearted? We have to get to the point and the resolve to say, doesn't matter what age I am, God's not done with me. Because if God was done with us, no matter what age you and I are at, guess where we'd be today? We wouldn't be here. We'd be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. If God was done with you, God was done with me, if God was done with us, we wouldn't be here. So if you're still here and you're bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, God still has a plan and purpose for you and for me. God still wants you committed. God still wants you sold out. God still wants you living for Him. God still wants you to do what He wants you to do, not what you want to do. We can sit back. We can come up with excuses. We can come up with reasons. But God still wants to use you. God wants you to still be sold out and committed to Him. See, he didn't wander. He didn't make excuses. But I want you to see another thought here. Verse 11. As yet I am strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. You ever get to a point that you just want to take the flag and raise the flag because you're just tired? How many of you have gotten just tired before? How many of you have gotten tired and you've done the bad thing? You threw the kids in the room and locked the door and just put something on so you didn't have to deal with them? No, you don't have to admit that. Some of you probably haven't done it, but you thought of it at least, right? Back in the old days, some of the churches had really big bus routes. You know, one of the reasons they had really big bus routes is because parents wanted a break, and they would send their kids on the buses, so they got free babysitting and got that taken care of. Now people are afraid to put their kids on a bus because they might get Brother Dick or something. Right, Brother Dick? But what do you see here? He didn't make excuses because of his age. He didn't wander in the wilderness. And even when he was tired, he was still strong. How does he have the strength to keep on keeping on? You see, he didn't quit. He didn't make excuses, but he didn't quit. How did he not quit? Why didn't he just get tired? How could he have the same amount of strength that he did 45 years before? How many of you would love to have the strength you had 45 years before? Now, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't be born. So I wouldn't have any strength, all right? But let me ask you, some of you in this room, you would love to be, take your age and minus yourself by 45. Brother Dick, that would put you about what, 18? What's that? 18? Brother Dave, that would put you about what? 30? Oh, 3. Rich? Wait, I got to get a calculator to figure this one out. Just kidding. But it put us, I mean, imagine the strength you had. How many remember when you were in your 40s? Now, some of you are there now. How much more strength do you have when you were in your 40s than you did when you were in your 50s? How much more strength did you have when you were in your 40s than when you were in the 60s? Your 40s and your 70s, your 40s and your 80s, your 40s and your 90s. Right? There's a big difference. He says, I have the same strength. I have the same strength. Now, how many met a person that was old, but you didn't know they were really that old? And they could do things that you wished you could do. And they had the health and the... Now, I picture this. This is what Caleb would have been. But you know what Caleb was saying? I have strength because God has a plan. You know, we get to a place that we get tired because we lose sight of God's plan for our lives. That's why the Bible says you become weary in well-doing. See, he didn't become weary in well-doing. He still had strength. How many of us become weary in well-doing? You don't have to admit it, but I want you to think about it. How many of us become weary in well-doing and we don't have the strength we used to? You remember, man, you used to share the gospel every day you could. You used to read the Bible. You used to pray. You used to witness. You used to do all these things. You used to serve. You used to teach. You used to clean. You used to do this. And you can mention all the stuff you used to do. But now you're tired because you become weary in well-doing. And you're asked to do something. You're asked to serve. You're asked to be committed. You ask, oh, I'm just too tired. I just can't do it. Wait. He was 85 years of age. And he said, I still have the same strength. I still have it. I've met Christians. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritually, when you met them and talked to them and you see them in the spiritual realm, in their how they're living, are stronger than they were when they were in 40s. But I've also seen Christians who are weaker at 80 than they were when they were 20. But as a believer, we ought to be stronger. You and I ought to be stronger today than we were last year at this time, spiritually speaking. Your commitment, my commitment, ought not to be weaker today. It ought to be stronger than it was 40 years ago. You ought to be more sold out today. You ought to be more committed today. You ought to be more involved today. You ought to be more doing today than you did 20, 30, 40 years ago. Why? Because we ought to be stronger, not weaker. How did he wholeheartedly follow the Lord? How did he do this? He realized his focus. He didn't wander in the wilderness. How did he do this? He also realized there's not excuses. He had to live for God. He also realized he needed to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and keep following after God. Look at verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day. Give me this mountain. You want to see another thing? He didn't lose his determination to finish what God wanted him to do. How many of you are determined individuals? Anyone like that? Another word is stubborn, okay? So now the fingers are getting pointed. Rich, you are in a lot of trouble, buddy. He's pointing to poor Lori. But this idea of determination carries in a good way this idea of being stubborn. Means you're going to finish. And he was determined to claim and to get this mountain. He says, give me this mountain that you told me I was going to have. Give me this place. Give this to me. He was determined. You and I need to be determined today if we're going to follow after God. Because there's a lot of things that are going to try to get us to take detours of life. There's going to be a lot of things that happen that are going to try to weaken us. And we got to be determined and not give in. And not, you know, don't take this the wrong way. But some of you remember how stubborn your kids were when they were little. And they said no, even though they didn't know what no even meant. And they that's their favorite word, even though they have no idea. You want ice cream? No. You want money? No. They'll say no to everything. Some of you remember that. And they were just stubborn. And you said no, say yes, no. Say yes, no. And then some of you would say no. And then they would say yes. You know, you play that mind game with them. But they were determined. You know what needs to happen in our lives? We need to become so determined that we are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, where nothing is going to push us or make us waver. We have to become to a place that we're going to keep going no matter what and say, nothing is going to move me. Nothing's going to keep me from my purpose of life, my goal that God has placed in my life. Nothing's going to stop me. And I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. I'm going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Nothing is going to sidetrack me from God's plan for my life. This determination has to do with his focus. And he was focused not just on the mountain, but he was focused on the promises of God and fulfilling what God had for him. You know what you and I need to be focused on? The author and finisher of our faith. We need to realize that in this race that we're in, that God has placed us here for a purpose and a reason. And we need not to load ourselves up with the sin and the extra weights and all those things that easily beset us. But we need to run with patience, with endurance, that race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we need to look at the prize. And we need to look focused. And we need to fight the fight and keep the faith and finish the course that God has set before us and be determined that no matter what, I'm going to live for God day in and day out of my life. I'm going to serve God every minute of my life, every breath I have, everything I have, every fiber of my body. I'm going to serve God and live for God. And he says, give me this mountain. And verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave up to Caleb. Then verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Last part, that he wholly followed the Lord, because they wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. God blessed Caleb, because Caleb followed God. This year, we need to be determined. We need to stop wandering in the wilderness. We got to stop making excuses. We got to stop looking at our weaknesses and realize when I'm weak, he is strong, and rely on him and get the strength we need to finish. We need to be determined and focused that nothing's going to keep us from this. Because When we do this, this is when we follow after God. And when we follow after God, that's when we have God's blessing upon our lives. Caleb had God's blessing upon his life because he wholly followed God. This year, you want God's blessing upon your home, your family, your life as an individual? You need to wholeheartedly follow after God. And when you and I wholeheartedly follow after God, that's when God's blessing will be upon your home. That's when God's blessing will be upon your life. You want God's blessing upon this church? Then church members of this church need to wholly follow after God. And that's when God's blessing will be upon this church. We sit back and we wonder why we don't have God's blessing. We wonder why, because we're not wholeheartedly committed in serving God. God's not going to bless us if we're walking in our sins. God's blessing is not going to be upon us if we're not serving Him and living for Him. God's blessing comes when God's people are right with God and serving God and committed to God. That's when the blessings of God comes upon our lives. And if we want to see God's blessing in 2020, then we have to wholeheartedly follow after God. Stop wandering. Maybe here this morning, you're wandering in a different way. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. Let me tell you, God loved you. He died for you. He rose again, offers the only way of salvation. You don't have to wander anymore. But believer, let me ask you, are you wandering this morning? If you're wandering, you're not wholeheartedly following after God. What's got your attention this morning? Let me ask you, how many excuses did you come up with not coming to church? How many excuses have you come up this past week of not reading the Bible? Not praying? How many excuses have you come up with of not tithing and not serving and not living? How many excuses? Let me ask you. Are you tired? Have you quit? If you quit, you're not wholeheartedly following after God. God wants you to keep on keeping on. He wants you to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. He wants you to finish that course. But let me ask you, how many of you have gotten tired and you're just going through the motions to make it through somehow the wilderness? Let me ask you, how determined are you? Are you more stubborn, determined, committed today than you were 40 years ago? Or are you less? Let me ask you, are you focused on what God has promised? Are you saying, give me this mountain? God, give me this victory. God, give me. Or have we lost our focus of life? Let me ask you, do you have God's blessing upon your life? No, preacher, I really don't. You know why? Because we are not wholly following after God. This year can and should be different for the positive than 2019. This year can and should be different for every one of us as an individual for the positive. Now, you can look back in 2019, and some of you and some of us will see many failures. We'll see some victories, we see some failures, we see some things. We can't live in the past. But from this day forward, we can make a determination to change. I don't have to live the way I did in 2019. I can be different 2020. I can be sold out once again. And next year at this time, when we look at a message and we ask, are you stronger this year than you were last year? You can say, because of God, I am stronger and I am living and I am more committed and I'm more sold out than I ever have been in my life. That is my prayer and my desire for everybody in this church, that next year every one of us can stand up and say we are more committed, more surrendered, more focused than we ever been in our lives, spiritually speaking. It might not be said this year from last year, but let it be different this upcoming year. Some of you were here, but you probably don't remember the very first message that I preached that would have been a New Year's message into the new year was a message entitled Crossing Over. And I drew a line and I asked, how many are going to cross over and go into the promised land? And how many are going to stay in the wilderness? I want to ask that question this morning. How many are going to cross over in 2020 and start living for God as you should? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this example of Caleb and his life. Lord, help us to follow it. And help us this next year live a life that would glorify you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Go ahead and love.